So a practical issue that we've confronted as we've been doing remote investigations is how to share documents securely, either before the interview or during the interview, with the idea being that, you know, in an in-person interview, perhaps we would put a piece of paper in front of someone, but we wouldn't let them take it home with them. There are documents that we need to show witnesses to conduct the interview, but that we don't want them to have a permanent copy of. So you guys talk about how you've handled document sharing with remote investigations.
Yeah, I don't mind kicking that off because, what we have found is there are a number of platforms that will allow you to share documents with a witness. I don't know if they are 100% foolproof with the ability perhaps of a witness to take screenshots and things of that nature. But they are secure and can be secured such that they can't pull the document or copy the document, you know, from whatever database you're allowing them access to. And of course, you know, your decision about whether to share something in advance or share with a witness or how you share it with a witness really depends on the kind of witness you think you're dealing with. Is this somebody who's truly just giving background information where you're not as worried about them walking off with documents or, you know, expending whatever effort might be involved in trying to copy them? Whereas somebody who might be a subject or really, in the crosshairs of wrongdoing, you might be more concerned about it. But I am aware of, and we have used, and I should have written them down for this presentation, but I'm aware that there are actually a number of platforms that will allow you to share and to secure the documents. It's not quite as foolproof as having a hard copy as you might have in a regular investigation and handing it over and then, retrieving it, but pretty close to it.
And Alex, I'll continue with you on this question, but in terms of preparing for connectivity issues, how is your approach now different than maybe the first investigation that you conducted? Yeah. What have we learned in the past year?
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you about that. So, connectivity issues certainly early on were a great out for certain witnesses. You can imagine that at that point in the questioning where you begin to trot on rather sensitive ground, all of a sudden, the screen goes black I am not casting aspersions on anybody, but it did seem awfully convenient that connectivity issues became a problem during those parts of the investigation, but some of them are actually real. And so what we have done, and I had a bad experience with this representing somebody in front of a regulator early on in the pandemic, where many of us who have now upgraded our internet connections and so forth because of that, we're finding ourselves frozen. And if you're representing somebody and they're being questioned by a regulator and you find yourself frozen out of the conversation or you can't hear what they're talking about, it is a chilling feeling to know that your witness is out there and they continue to speak, even though you can't stop them or advise them or whatever it is that you ordinarily do. What I have done is I have after that one experience, I had a kind of simple backup plan, which was to dial in on the phone as well as dial in through the computer, so that even if I lost visual connection, I could always hear what was being said. And of course, there are issues with that you have to be somewhat aware of with the echo effect and so forth with the phone. And of course, sometimes the phone is picking up what's being said earlier than what you're seeing on the screen. But I've found a couple of ways of doing that, having a backup website we can go to and speak offline or things of that nature in case we have a real connectivity problem. How about, Mark, have you had the same issue or no?
Yeah, and I think a good practice to on the issue of connectivity and technology is to conduct an initial telephone conference before you're going to do the video conference, right, to go over all the technical issues, right? Make sure everybody's aligned. They can use the same platform, availability of like shared documents to kind of, so you cover that on one call before you get to the meet. A couple other things just on the larger topic of right interview that kind of popped in my mind. So on the issue in employment law of interviewer being a witness, and Jeff knows this. So because of this kind of dynamic where you want the legal advice privileged, but you want the investigation part not privileged because you're going to use it. There are a lot of lawyers out there who've gotten out of the litigation game, and now they've set up their own shops, maybe, you know, standard of living or whatever, better lifestyle than all the litigation. And they do these investigations. And so, and we could give you the names of them, but in any big city, you've got these lawyers are out there. And so they know a lot of what we're talking about. And if it's a serious matter, it's not a bad idea to sometimes kind of outsource that function for just this reason we're describing. The other thing that I wanted to point out on picking the right interview, just kind of practical thing, it's something I thought of in my practice, is now that we have the ability to have, you know, anywhere in the world, an interviewer interview somebody else through remote technology, that's a powerful tool, but it also presents risks. And I had a case recently where that was illustrated, where an employee, a managerial high-level manager, was accused of some wrongdoing by his boss,